The sermon text today is found in Matthew chapter 7. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 7, and I will read the first 6 verses. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word. Your word is life. Help us to see you clearly through it, to not be obscured by the things of this world, but to have a vision for you that surpasses our greatest hopes and our greatest aspirations for ourselves. Take this time, use of it as you will, and speak through me so that all of our hearts might be changed and challenged by this encounter with you. These things we pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. Muslims are trying to take over the world. Legalizing same-sex marriage is the worst sin America has ever committed. Instead of saying Black Lives Matter, I wish we would just say All Lives Matter. After seeing those videos, you know, those videos, I think we should shut down every Planned Parenthood office. I sure wish that terrible Westboro Baptist Church would just go away. Love the sinner, hate the sin. All of these statements have something in common. What they have in common is the perspective of the speaker saying them. And that perspective is this: we are right. And they, whoever they are wrong. How quickly we rush to judgment in these situations. It's a human characteristic. Everyone jumps to conclusions. Everyone rushes to judgment. Everyone does it. So we're kind of in good company. We know what the truth is. We know what's right. We know who the good guys are. That's us. And they, the bad guys, have more to learn. It's an attitude that we have about people on the other side of the world. It's an attitude that we have about people on the other side of the tracks, on the other side of the street, even perhaps on the other side of the sanctuary aisle. It is so easy for us to launch criticisms at other people for the things that they have done. Even the nice-sounding statement, "Love the sinner, hate the sin," has its problems. I don't like that statement personally. I try not to use it. I think it's a trite saying, and it's not biblical. It doesn't come out of Scripture. while it makes us feel good about ourselves for loving someone despite something that they're doing wrong, it's a saying that betrays a certain position of power. We have put ourselves in the position of determining what's right and wrong, who the good people are and who the bad ones are. Love the sinner, hate the sin. We might as well say, I love my brother, but I hate the speck of sawdust in his eye. Jesus is talking about life in the kingdom of God here in Matthew 7, the third and final chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. What I find fascinating about today's passage, just the first six verses, is really, honestly, the stuff about the dogs and pigs. I still don't know what to make of that after having thought about it all week long. Maybe. But what I find more fascinating about this passage is that it's not overtly religious. There's no talk about prayer or faith or worship or even God in it, at least not directly. It's just a text that doesn't have explicit religious language in it. Jesus teaches us here in this passage not all of the high worship things that you might expect a New Testament passage to have in it. Not all the high theology things that you would expect to see, but he teaches us here something about how we are to relate to each other. He shows us that we are responsible to each other, not just within the church family, but within broader society as well. We are responsible to help each other see clearly with love and wisdom and humility. And we don't produce those character traits naturally on our own. Love and wisdom and humility. Instead, those are markers of the life of Jesus. We imitate him. We grow in his characteristics by trying and working to remove the planks from our own eyes. When we remove the plank of selfishness, we grow in compassion. When we remove the plank of pride, we grow in humility. When we remove the plank of arrogance, we grow in understanding. When we remove the plank of nationalism, we grow as citizens of God's kingdom. When we remove the plank of being right, we grow by acknowledging that Jesus is right, that Jesus never has to remove a plank from his eye, that Jesus has every right to judge us and our neighbors. What is required of us is greater humility, removing the things from our eyes, from our lives, that cause us to treat other people with criticism and disregard. We are responsible to each other. From a position of humility, we can help each other to grow in the image of Christ. Now, in this passage, Jesus says, "Do not judge, or else you will be judged." But what he is not saying is that there are no standards whatsoever. He's not advocating for an anything goes kind of lifestyle. He's not saying that there is no such thing as sin. Of course there is. People do have specks of sawdust and sometimes planks in their eyes, a metaphor for things that separate us from God. People can and do take the message of Jesus and trample it under their feet, and sometimes even tear apart the messengers. But this is not a reason for the people of God to act as judge, jury, and executioner. Instead, it is a call for us to grow in humility so that we might join with each other and our neighbors in bringing about the kingdom of God in this time and place. To Jesus, reconciled relationships are far more important than the casual criticisms that are so easy for us to make. It's so easy for us to criticize people with whom we disagree, especially under a thinly veiled veneer of self-centered Christianity. It is much more difficult for us to to pursue reconciliation with each other, because reconciliation requires humility. It requires asking for and receiving forgiveness. It requires a willingness to admit our mistakes. Reconciliation is not about determining who is right and who is wrong. True reconciliation is about realizing that Jesus is right and that you and I both have some way to go before we resemble Him completely. Reconciliation is the hallmark, the signal, the clearest sign of the kingdom of God among us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book called Discipleship, reflects on this passage from Matthew 7 with some very powerful words. He says, "Jesus Christ is not a standard by which I can measure others." Did you catch that? Jesus Christ is not a standard by which I can measure others. It is He who judges me and reveals what, according to my own judgment, is good to be thoroughly evil. And then he says, all judging presupposes the most dangerous self-deception, namely that the Word of God applies differently to me than it does to my neighbor. I claim an exceptional right when I say forgiveness applies to me, but condemnation applies to the other person. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, living in Nazi Germany, wrote those words. So how can we pursue humility and reconciliation in today's world? I have 5 ideas for you. First, number 1, have a conversation with someone with whom you disagree. Whether you differ about politics, or racial issues, or same-sex marriage, or the Iran nuclear deal, or the presence of Islam in the United States, or incidents of terrorism in this country or abroad, or whatever, resist the urge to condemn and judge. But sit down with this person, someone who believes differently than you, and practice love, humility, self-sacrifice, and conversation. Listen more than you speak. Remove the plank from your eye before you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. But try, because, you know, the speck's in the way. Number 2. One chance that you have for that kind of conversation, even today, is at our lunch after service today. Today is the monthly meeting for our chronological Bible reading group. But it's an open meeting. If you have not been part of that reading experience, reading through the Bible in the course of a year, you are still welcome to stay for lunch. There should be plenty of food for us all to share. Wonderful desserts, I hear, have been brought. It's all very good stuff. Stay for lunch. Stay for conversation about what we have been reading in Scripture. Trust me, we do not always see eye to eye about what we have read in Scripture. But we are practicing the arts of listening to each other and loving each other even though we differ. It's been a good experience so far. Number 3. Another way that you can practice humility and reconciliation is by attending the chapel services that we will host at the Open Door starting on September 10. We're going to do this every month on the second Thursday of each month at 6:30 in the evening. We're going to host a simple worship service with the residents at the Open Door, the homeless shelter up in town. It's not just for the residents of the Open Door. It is for us as well. It's for you. That's why I say we do this with the residents of the Open Door. It's for all of us. Come and worship. Engage in Bible study and get to know some of your neighbors who are struggling with economic issues or struggling with homelessness or whatever other kinds of issues are going on in their lives. It is important for people in our community to know that there are Christians nearby that care about relationships. So come, even if it's just once. See if you can Make time in your schedule one Tuesday, a second Tuesday of some month. We'll be there. It's Tuesday, Thursday. Ooh, Thursday. Thursday, not Tuesday. Sorry. Second Thursday of the month. You can come the second Tuesday. There won't be anybody there from our church anyhow. Come at least once to see what it's like and to get to know some of the folks who are there. That's number three. Number four, another idea about how to engage in the work of building humility and reconciliation in this world. Come to our new Sunday night series, Facing Islam Without Fear. It's all based on this book, remember, that I mentioned to you at the beginning of the service. It's going to start in about a month when the Sunday evening things sort of settle down and everybody gets back together. September 27 is when we'll start that, 6 p.m. on Sundays. It'll be over before Sunday night football, Tara, don't worry. All right. Never mind. We're going to study this book, Facing Islam Without Fear, A Christian's Guide to Engaging the Muslim World. And as we study this book, we will be challenged to set aside our fear, our pride, our judgment of those who practice this major world religion. This is a very important study, not just because of world events, but because of Jesus' call for us to remove the planks from our own eyes. But fifth, finally, and most importantly, the most important way that we can practice and pursue humility and reconciliation right here and now is the high point of today's worship service, the Lord's Supper. In this meal, we encounter Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. The bread and the juice remind us of Jesus' body and blood, the great price that he paid for our salvation. We eat and drink to remind ourselves that Jesus is our life, that his death and resurrection give us new life and hope and joy. This meal reminds us that we are not God, and that God has pursued reconciliation with us at a very high cost. Our participation in this meal is not something to be taken lightly. It is a meal for those who are in Christ, and it is a meal that requires us first to consider the planks in our eyes before we eat and drink. The Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 11 of the letter called 1 Corinthians, "Anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread or drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment on yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Let us take a moment now in silent meditation to examine ourselves and to ask the Lord to help us to remove the planks from our eyes, that we might see him more clearly as we share in this meal together. O Lord, our God, we give you thanks for this day and for your word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce within our spirits. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins before you and to rely on your grace for our forgiveness. And as we prepare to approach your table this day, we pray that you would help us to remove those planks from our eyes that we might see you clearly and then be able to serve our community by helping others to see you clearly as well. Speak to us and meet us in this great meal of our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.